Welcome to the Until Sunday podcast with Pastor Ben. I'm looking forward to what we're going to learn today, where I'm going to talk about one of the reasons that Jesus came to this earth and one of the reasons he died on the cross for us, and that is that Jesus came to destroy the work of Satan. And one of the things I think a lot of people focus in on when they're reading the Bible or thinking about God is we do naturally think a lot about how God loves us, God is kind to us, he is merciful to us, and those are wonderful things, but sometimes I think we are blinded by the fact that we have an enemy. We have a real enemy that Jesus talked about, that the Bible talks a lot about, that Satan hates us. And he doesn't really hate the people who are living totally against God's will as much as he hates the children of God. He wants to hurt us. He wants to draw us away from God, because in so doing, it'll draw glory away from God. And it will be something that he's trying to hurt the heart of God. And so we have a real enemy, and Jesus talked about Satan and how he works and what he does. But also, I want to focus in on a passage out of 1 John chapter 3. Now, if you know the Bible, you know that John was one of the disciples of Jesus, but he wasn't just a disciple. He was a very close friend of Jesus. He was very dear to Jesus, and he knew Jesus probably as well as anybody, definitely as well as any of the disciples would. And he says something when he writes 1 John later on in his life, and he said this in chapter 3, verse 4. He said, "Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that Jesus appeared so that he might take away our sins." And we see that happening at the cross. And it says, "And in him is no sin. Now, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning, and no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him." And that doesn't mean you never sin once you become a follower of Christ. It means that sin is not the thing that dominates your life and drives your life. It's not the characteristic of your life, and it's not the thing that you're guided by, that when you sin, there should be conviction of that sin, and there should be a desire to want to please God. In fact, I've told people many times that they say, "How do I know for sure that I'm a Christian?" That's one question I get from a lot of people, that sometimes they doubt that what I thought was my salvation experience, what if I did it the wrong way, or I was told the wrong thing? And I tell people, I say, let me give you a good way of knowing that you're really a child of God and a follower of Jesus. And it's this: if you sin and you feel no remorse, you feel no guilt, you have no shame, you're probably not a Christian. Because if you're truly a believer, when you sin, there will be deep conviction. And it won't be a conviction based on, well, maybe somebody will find out, or maybe I'll get caught. It's the belief that, you know what, even if no one ever finds out that I did this, I still know that God knows. And there's a conviction before God, and we want to seek his forgiveness, and we want to turn from that and keep living for him. So that's what it means here when it says no one who keeps on sinning has never known Jesus. It means that they're the kind of person who this is the characteristic of their life. So he goes on in verse 7 and says, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." That's a pretty simple concept. If you're righteous, you're going to do what's right. "But the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning." And then he says this, and he talks about why Jesus came, and he talks about something that happened at the cross. He says there in verse 8, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." Now, we're going to ask the question, what is the devil's work? You know, what exactly does he do? If Jesus came to destroy the devil's work, we'll ask here in just a minute, well, what was his work? Let's keep going in verse 9. "No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they've been born of God." And that's where it goes back. You can't just go on sinning. That's not going to be something you want to do, be the driving force of your life, because God is with you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He will convict you, and you will want to turn away from that. And it says, "Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister." And their brother and sister there being talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ, not your biological brother and sister, but your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's talk about what this means about Jesus coming to destroy the devil's work. And what is his work? So the first thing I want you to understand is this, that Satan's greatest weapon is deception. Some people, when they think of Satan, if they don't know how he operates, they just think of these people that are out there like worshiping Satan or doing these like weird cultish things. And those are devil worshipers, but that's not how Satan works. Satan's main weapon is to deceive you, to lie to you about what the truth is in hopes of drawing you away from God. Now, we're going to read a passage out of John chapter 8. Jesus said this, and then we'll kind of get a little bit more specific and practical about how this plays out, that Satan uses deception to try and draw us away from God. Jesus said this in John chapter 8. He said, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I've not come on my own, but God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you?" Then he answers his own question. He said, "Because you are unable to hear what I say, because you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him." And when he says he was a murderer from the beginning, we're going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent comes to Eve, and we know later in the book of Revelation, it defines that serpent is Satan himself. And you know what he does to her? He lies to her. He does deception. And when he is able to tempt her to take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he is able to bring sin into the world through her. And suddenly, because sin came, man dies. So it talks about he was a murderer from the beginning. He actually helped bring death into the world, not just physical death, but death, spiritual death, and a separation from God. So that's where he talks about he was a murderer from the beginning, not even holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Then Jesus said this, "When Satan speaks, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and he's the father of lies." So Jesus gives us Satan's method of trying to attack us right there. He said he's a liar and he wants to lie to us. But the problem is, oftentimes when we see things coming into our life, we may not know they're a lie, or we may not be understanding where the source of the lie is coming from, and that we have an enemy. So let me kind of talk about the deception of Satan, what he does specifically. How does he make this happen in our life? And there's really four areas that I see where he does this. The first is that he tries to tempt us. He wants to bring temptation into our life so that we will fall into sin and be displeasing and disobedient to God. And what's interesting is when you see Satan the very first time in the Bible you ever see him is in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. And the very first time we see him in the Old Testament, he is tempting Eve. Then you get to the New Testament, and the very first time that he makes an appearance in the New Testament, he's tempting Jesus in the wilderness. So we know that this is something that is one of his main ways of trying to get at us and try to draw us away from God. But fortunately, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us in verse 12, "If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall, because the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. But when you are tempted, he will also show you a way out so that you can endure." That God's going to give us a way to get away from the temptation, to say no to the temptation. You never have to say, "Well, I had no choice. It was too strong." No, if you're a child of God, he will always provide a way out for you. And then another way that Satan uses deception, the second way I see it, is in false teaching. And this is what I see growing probably faster than any of his ways of deception, is through false teaching. Now, most of this has been brought on by the advent of social media, the internet, the quick mass communication of our world. And one of the reasons I'm really wanting to do this podcast is to be able to get the truth out there, because there's so many podcasts, there's YouTube channels, there's so many ways you can find some really dangerous false teaching that is leading people into all kinds of heresies, all kinds of mistruths. And some of them are really damaging people's lives just because they're believing false teaching. And Satan wants that to be a part of what's going on in our world. He wants us to hear false teaching and to believe it. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 where Paul said this. He said, there's people who are false apostles. He said they are deceitful workers. Then it says they disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. So they act like they're speaking on behalf of Jesus. But verse 14 says, but I am not surprised that this happens because even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So they're actually using the tactics Satan uses. They look good, they look and sound right, but they're actually being deceptive. And then he says, so it's no wonder that the servants of Satan also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. So it's so important for everyone who calls himself a follower of Christ to know what the truth is. And the truth is, the way you're going to learn the truth is to learn God's word, so that when you hear a false thing, you'll immediately know it. You'll immediately know to stay away from it, to not listen to it. But we have to be aware there's a lot out there, and Satan is using it to try and draw people away. And one of the things I really hope in this podcast is that as we go through, you won't just hear my opinion about things, but you'll be able to hear that the Word of God is answering these questions. That it's not going to be Pastor Ben's opinion, but it will be, what does God's Word really say? And you'll grow stronger in your knowledge of His Word. A third way I see Satan attack people is just through lies. Lies about God. He wants to lie about who God is and how God cares about us. Probably a lot of people listening to this podcast will know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this, that you've known people, you may even be one of these people, who something has happened in your life, something tragic, something painful, and you've seen this person that it happened to, and they just believe, well, God must not care about me. If God was loving, if God was kind, if God was gracious, He would not have allowed this to happen. And you say, well, why do people think that way? You know what I think is that Satan tries to lie about who God is. Because he tries to say, well, if a loving God, if He was really a loving God, why would He have let that happen in your life? But the thing is that God does so many things in our life for our good. The trials of our life will draw us closer to Him, help us learn how to grow in our faith. There's many things that happen in our life, and many of them happen just because there's sin in the world. To give you an example, my mother passed away many years ago. She's been with the Lord now for, I think, 32 years. She was in her early 50s when she died of cancer. Loved the Lord, was a godly, godly woman, and she died of cancer. And my mother walked with the Lord and showed Jesus more than just about anybody I've ever known. And another person was like that was my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law was 47 years old when he passed away with cancer. And my brother-in-law actually, he made a lot of money, and he used his money to help orphans to the point of he actually adopted eight children. He and my sister adopted eight children from Africa and China. He was a very soul-winning person. He shared the gospel with people. He was one of the godliest people I've ever known, but he died at 47 and left my sister with all these children to care for. And you say, well, you know, why would a loving God take two people like that who were so, living faithfully for Him? Why would He take them? And, you know, I didn't get mad at God. I didn't, rebel against God and say, well, God is horrible. But that's what Satan would want me to believe. You know, why would God take your mother so early to tell me and my sister, why would He take, your brother-in-law, your husband at such an early age? But what really killed my mother and my brother-in-law was their sin in the world. And our bodies are not perfect like they were before sin came in the world, and people die. But Satan wants to say, no, that's not it. It's not that people die. It's that God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. And so sometimes He does that. And that's one of the things we saw back in the garden with Eve, is that when He comes to Eve, He immediately tries to lie about what God wants for Adam and Eve. And he asked her the question, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And if you remember, she looks back at the serpent. She says, we can eat from the trees in the garden. But God did say we can't eat from the fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, or we will die. So she tries to correct, you know, what God really said. And then he tells her, he says, oh, come on. He says, you will not certainly die. He said, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and then you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So he's just trying to tell Eve, he said, what God's doing, Eve, is he's trying to withhold something from you that's really good. And God's not as good as you think, Eve. In fact, he's kind of a little bit shady and lying to you. And so Eve believes this. She eats of the fruit, and suddenly sin comes into the world because of her disobedience to the Lord. So he still does that to us today, that he wants to lie about God's care for us, his love for us, and his plan for us. So the last thing I see where I see Satan trying to attack people is in discouragement. He just wants to discourage people about what's going on in their life, what's going to happen in their future. He tries to bring fear into their life, discouragement, so that they will not trust God. Because when you go into these times of difficulty, the most important thing you can do is to keep trusting God. But he wants us to not trust God. He wants to trust for us to trust in ourselves or some outside force. Some people, they say trust in the government, trust in your job, trust in your money, trust in whatever. But when we get into difficult times, we need to trust God. And he wants to discourage us and say, God's not going to be there for you. You can't trust him. And when you don't trust God, you will immediately fall into discouragement. And discouragement can easily lead into depression and other kinds of areas because you're just not trusting him. And Satan wants to do that in our lives. A wonderful verse that I love to use with people when they go through these times is Romans chapter 8, verse 35. It says there, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or we're persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? And we could add things in there in our own way and say, can anything separate us from his love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we lose our job, or if that person we were hoping to maybe spend our lives with decides to break off an engagement, or if something happens where there's just a health issue that I suddenly don't have my health? Does it mean that God doesn't love me? All these things that I hear people talk about all the times, the pains of their life. Does it mean that God doesn't love us if we have trouble and calamity? And then he answers the question in verse 37. He says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, and not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. There's no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed to us in Christ Jesus. And so it's a great joy to us to know that God is with us. And even though Satan comes against us, we can know that there's power to go against him because he's already been defeated. And you say, well, where was he defeated? He was defeated at the cross. Let me read this verse to you out of John chapter 12. And Jesus is speaking here. And this is such a powerful statement about what happened at the cross that gives us hope as we face our life walking with the Lord. In John chapter 12, Jesus is very close at this point to being arrested, to go before Pilate, to be convicted, to hang on the cross. And right before this happened, he says in John 12, 27, now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour, being the cross? So he's obviously troubled. He's fully God, but fully man. So he is troubled about what's going to happen to him when he goes to the cross. Jesus had seen people die on crosses. That happened a lot in the Roman Empire that day. He knew the physical toll it was going to take on him, but he also knew he was going to have to bear the sins of man. and to bear the wrath against that sin on the cross. He knew it was coming. So he said, should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But then he says, no, this is the very reason that I came. And then he says this, Father, bring glory to your name. So at that point, it says a voice from heaven began to speak, and it said, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. So when the crowd heard this voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. But then Jesus said, the voice was not for your benefit, it was for your benefit, not mine. And verse 31 is the pivotal point. The time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, being lifted up on the cross, I will draw everyone to myself. So Jesus even tells us right there, when he's going to the cross, he said, the time has come for the judging of this world. And what he's talking about was judging the world system that Satan was said to be the prince of this air, the ruler of this world. But he says, no, he is going to be defeated at the cross. And it says, the time has come for him to be cast out, that Jesus has won the victory over Satan. And so when we see these things where Satan comes against us, what we rejoice in as Christians is that the cross defeated him. We don't have to listen to the lies, the discouragement. We don't have to give in to the temptation. That has been defeated. The Holy Spirit is living in us. And if we will seek God and listen for his voice, listen for his direction, he is going to lead us into what the truth is. And the truth is that God is a loving God, a gracious God, and a merciful God, but that doesn't mean he just gives us whatever we want. Sometimes he'll take us through trials and difficulties, but they're for our good, to make us more of what he wants us to be, to strengthen our faith, and most importantly, to see who he is and know that we can trust him. Every time you go through a trial and you see God work in your life, it strengthens your trust more and more and more. And that's one of the beauties about walking with the Lord year after year, is you see him be faithful. That he's always faithful. His timing sometimes is not what we want. Sometimes God's timing takes a while. But I've seen in my life and people I know over and over that he is always, always faithful to be a good God, a loving God, who does what is best for his glory and best for our good when we trust him. So today, just be aware that you have an enemy. Be aware that when these things come, they're not just things that happen by chance. We have an enemy, but also remember there's power that we have because of the cross of Christ. There's power that we have in the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us, and there's power that we find in knowing his word, listening to his word. That is, the Bible is not just a book. It is God speaking to us, telling us how much he loves us, telling us that he's in control, telling us that he's faithful, telling us to trust him. And I hope that will be an encouragement to you today. Well, I hope you have a great day, the rest of your day and the rest of your week. I hope that the Lord is going to show himself more to you, that you'll walk in obedience to him, you'll walk in trust with him, and that you will do everything you can to bring glory and honor to his name. Remember, if you like to ask a question or make a comment, or even if there's some kind of a topic you'd like for me to hit on, just email me at untilsundaypodcast@gmail.com. And I will really look forward to hearing from you. Also, if you have any prayer requests, if there's something you need specific, just send that to me. I'd be more than honored to pray for you and lift you up to the Lord. So I hope you have a really good day, and I'll see you on the next podcast.